Hello, good morning, everyone. So, question I've had in, does alcohol impact muscle gain and weight loss? And in the research I've seen, that there was done one study where they had one drink a day for women and two drinks a day for men. There was no impact on fat loss and performance. However, it is dose dependent on the individual. Two drinks for some people might feel it, and it might cause adverse effects, so you can't just go off that as a flat line. But it doesn't overpower calories. First of all, let's cover the calorie stuff. If you're in a deficit and you're drinking alcohol, right, you're still gonna lose weight, like 100%. The alcohol doesn't overpower the deficit. Now, when it comes to alcohol, it's technically the fourth macronutrient. So there's protein, carbs, fat, and alcohol. We get our energy from these nutrients. So we've got protein, carbs, fat, alcohol. Those are the four macronutrients we can derive energy from. And we call that energy, we measure it with calories. So alcohol gives us protein is 4 calories a gram, carbs are 4 calories a gram, alcohol is 7 calories a gram, and fat is 9 calories a gram. So alcohol gram for gram is nearly up there with fat, so it's energy dense. The body, once it metabolizes it, get rid of it quickly as a priority because it is a toxin essentially. So the energy, some people who drink a few pints get a lot of energy, right? So in our sense, it gives you energy, but it doesn't have any nutritional value. So there's no micronutrients or whatever to it. So I mean, you can argue some people argue like Guinness and all that, whatever, but in general, we say alcohol is empty calories, kind of because it's not like a nutritious food, but it does provide energy. So just because of the calories, the energy we derive from it doesn't necessarily come with all of the good micronutrient stuff, it still impacts our energy balance. So you can still gain weight. So if you were eating a maintenance and you started to drink 500 calories of alcohol, the chances are you're going to be gaining fat over time, right? So definitely the alcohol calories count. It's just how many calories are you drinking from alcohol, So a pint is about 200 to 250 calories. Some cocktails range from like 150 to 600. Pina coladas, or some of them are 650 calories. So you've got to really be like on the lookout for the calories from alcohol. Now, does it impact performance? Now, interestingly, right, years ago, I did like a mini study or a survey with 3,975 rugby players. So, amateur, semi-pro, and professional rugby players. And one of the sections was on injury and alcohol because rugby and drinking go hand in hand. I mean, they're freaks. They're weird guys. Come on. Why they drink to oblivion. They do things that are unspeakable in initiations before you join a team. And it's disgusting. Anyway, drinking after the game on the Saturday is a big part of why people play rugby. Like they play it for the sport, they play it for the boys after the game, right? So when it comes to injury and alcohol, here's what my data shows and what kind of like the gist of it is. So alcohol can disrupt your sleep, right? If you drink too much, for sure. So that's going to impact your performance, impact your recovery and muscle gain, obviously. It also like doesn't improve your recovery time, it makes it worse. So if you're playing on a Saturday and you drink heavily on a Saturday, you're not going to recover well on Sunday, Monday. So there's a longer delay, and higher doses actually increase cortisol levels, so stress hormone, and decrease testosterone levels. So your testosterone goes down, cortisol levels go up. It's not ideal. So this is not going to be doing you any favors for your long-term resistance training. But here's what I found. So how beers consumed per week versus injuries is what I looked at. So if a player consumed 0 to 2 beers a week, which is basically not much at all, their injury rate was just flatlined, the base. Once people started drinking 4 to 10 beers a week, it goes up 20 odd percent, 25% from the two. So from 2 to 4 to 10 beers a week, you go in 25% increase. This kind of flat line from 4 to 10. But once you start reaching 12 to 14 plus beers, it goes up another 25% impact on injuries. So your chance of being injured goes up quite clearly with alcohol usage for rugby players. It's a good little data set to look at as well, you know, because obviously these people are playing on Saturdays, they're drinking, they're kind of, you know, they've got this like history, and it's clear evidence that injuries are heightened from putting your body essentially in a position where the recovery's hampered. You know, it's not good. So if you are serious, I mean, you want to optimize your performance, you obviously shouldn't be drinking alcohol, you know. So from an athletic standpoint, it's going to impact your motor skills, your hydration, your aerobic performance, recovery process, and this impacts everything, right? So once, if it impacts your recovery process, I mean, that's where you got to look at how many drinks you can have that actually don't take you to the hampered state. So you have to ask yourself, do I have one drink, two drinks, three drinks? And after three drinks, you know, does that start feeling, do I start feeling drunk? Does my sleep, or is it two drinks? Am I okay in two drinks? You know, some of you might be one or two, and that's it. And that's the fact of it. But again, I wouldn't, again, these are details. I am assuming you're not binge drinking. If you're binge drinking, it's a completely different thing, right? If you're binge drinking, then yeah, you need to sort it out, because it's gonna really impact your performance. But if you're having one or two glasses of wine a night, I would say just focus on consistent training to start with, focus on getting that progressive overload in, which means, you know, every week or two you're putting the weight up for the same reps, so you're doing more reps of the same weight and you start progressing. You know, that's really the gist of training. You know, some people will be like, is this plan best, is that plan the best? The best plan for weightlifting is one you do consistently, where you can track your progress and you're actually increasing the intensity of it, whether it's more weight or reps or sets. This is very, it's that simple. People want to overcomplicate it. You know, you can follow programs, and that's why you, like, we did programs before where it was the basic movements over 12 weeks and people's results were amazing. You know, people's results were amazing. So I think it's just about the consistency of training. If you feel you're drinking too much, obviously drop it, you know. It's the thing with optimizing performance. We often overlook the big blocks. The big blocks, obviously, sleep is one of the big ones. You know, we can speak about, should I have one or two drinks? But are you having 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night? Is your sleep hygiene good? Like, have you got blackout blinds? Is the room cool? How many times are you waking up in the night? You know, are you drinking too much water close to bedtime? And you're waking up all the time. Are you having only one or two sleeps a night that are weaker that are good? Or are you having some seriously good days in a row? You start there. What's your caffeine intake like? Are you drinking caffeine too late in the day that it's actually impacting your sleep? And then you wake up tired and you think the answer is more caffeine, but actually caffeine is the problem because it's impacting your sleep because the half-life is so long. You shouldn't be drinking caffeine after 12, really. You know, that's the thing. Are you active enough in the day that you're going to bed tired? Because if you're not going to bed tired, you're going to just be staying up awake. You know, these are basics. Like, okay, well, what do you mean go to bed tired? Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if you go out in the middle of the day, you go for your walk and you do some exercise and you do, you know, you're working or whatever, and you go home at the end of the day, you're going to start feeling tired, ready for bed by 9 or 10. You know, if you want to take this seriously, you want to make sure you're going to bed at a reasonable time. And people are always thinking, oh, should I go to bed? I can't go to bed. I go to bed at like 12. Well, you need to sort that out. Why are you staying up so late? Obviously, sometimes you do. Sometimes I do. Things, you get into the flow with work or something and it goes on. But really, you've got to prompt yourself as well. Remember this. Your behavior happens when you get prompted. So you need a prompt. So you either have an alarm go off at 9 p.m. to remind you, hey, get off your phone, get off the couch and bugger off to bed. You know, and don't go on your phone when you're in bedroom. Maybe you want to read a book to go to sleep to. Some Welsh, book about Welsh history or something. You know, so if you want to take this stuff seriously, I would say a coach won't take anything seriously from you. I'm not saying this as an individual, as in general, unless you've got the basics in place. Okay, so the coach will just tell you to do the basics. If you go to a strength and conditioning coach or whatever, they give you a plan, sleep, your protein, your energy intake, that's it. And that's really the rule for everything. Get the basics down first before we start running for other optimization stuff. Because you can go in depth with other optimization stuff. I mean, you know, you can go into like cardio fat loss protocols, and you can go into like complicated training processes and programs. You can go into like all sorts of like peak week stuff. You know, it gets really complex when you get to the upper echelons. Because, and the reason is this, guys, because like these athletes who are competing, they've maxed out their like natural talent and training volume and stuff. So they've like, they're turning up and they are at the peak of their ability. And the difference between them winning gold and winning silver is sometimes less than 1%, or is like half a millisecond, or you know what I mean? It's like an inch. So they will do pretty much anything to get that inch on someone. And that means they turn to some supplements. They turn to certain peak week stuff and manipulations. But that's for those people. It's not for us. We don't need to focus on those things. If we just do the basics, it was fine. They're just looking in case, you know, in case there's that extra. You know, creatines are something that people should take if they want to, you know, be getting stronger and optimizing for that, for sure, because there's so much research on it. But the other thing that's got research is beetroot extract, you know, for a bit more endurance. And, you know, it can give you a 10% edge, you know. But how are you to know if it's going to give you this edge if you're not training frequently anyway? If you don't have loads of data to look on? If you haven't been training for months? You know what I mean? You haven't trained for months, you haven't trained consistently. I'm going to take this to improve my strength. But how do you know it's improving your strength? Oh, well, just feel it. Well, we can't go off feeling. We need the data, right? So if you're going to bother taking any of these supplements, you need to start looking at yourself like an experiment and say, okay, for the next 4 weeks, I'm not going to start creatine yet. I'm going to train specifically. I'm going to do consistent training. I'm going to put down how much weight I'm using, my reps and my sets. I'm going to do that for 4 weeks. Then I'm going to load on creatine, and it's going to take 30 days for it to saturate my muscle cells. So I need at least 30 days. So then you track that as well, but don't expect much improvement, maybe a bit. And then the following month, you will then do the same, and you will see, have I gained any strength? Well, I started on 5 kgs, now I'm on 10. So clearly, okay, but in month 3 versus month 1, big difference. But month 3 versus month 2 is a bit of a difference. You actually have this data in front of you. It's objective. It's like, this is true. But if you're just going to take things on a whim and just hope it makes you better because someone said, you don't really need to, because you're not really optimizing for it anyway. Do you mean you're just adding more stress to your life? You know? But I think we fall into this trap a lot of these minor details. And I like reminding you guys to focus on the big stuff, because that's what matters, the fundamentals. But yeah, if you are thinking of like, you know, creatine, beetroot extract, you know, taking any kind of performance enhancing supplement, beta alanine example has got some evidence, and you really are into your training and you've got data to look back on and to compare it, for sure do it. But please experiment it, because I love this data stuff. You know, I've been doing this for years. I love it. Like on my rugby study now, you know, I've even got here performance enhancing drugs part. 40% of rugby players consider taking steroids. I would say more than but here's the thing, people who took steroids had higher injury rates on all levels. You know, that's an interesting find, these data points. Creatine, oh, here we go, man. I forgot about it. Is creatine yes or no? Okay, creatine is a natural supplement with countless studies prove it's effective for increasing strength. Despite its benefits, though, only 30% of professionals consume creatine. But what does our data show? So what this shows to me on creatine users, the bench press average of a non-creatine user was like, looks here at like 90 kgs, and the bench press of creatine users is 100. So bench press, squat, deadlift, there is a clear increase in strength for creatine users versus non-creatine users in my data year rugby players. Okay, other supplements they used was whey protein, creatine, multivitamins, and omega fish oils. Let's have a look now. So yeah, players definitely, as you go from amateur, semi-pro to professional, consume more protein per day. Obviously, nutritionists are helping them. Professional level rugby players train on average 3.5 times a week. Workout, don't burn out. Amateurs train 2.7 times a week, but semi-pros train 3.25 times a week. So even professional rugby players hitting the gym 3 times a week because they're doing more specific rugby stuff, right? 2 days a week is fine. If you're looking to optimize, you go to 3. Okay, that's kind of a thing to think about. I go to two to maintain, and if I want to start progressing, maybe I need three. What else finds you? 39% of professionals think players are getting too big. Yeah, they are monsters. Over 75% of players believe that weightlifting is crucial for effectively playing rugby. Yeah, it's important. It's interesting. What else have I got here for you guys? I think that's it. Is it injury, alcohol recovery? Yeah. So that's it. I hope I was useful, but maybe we can create our own little study with everyone doing these things and see if it does improve your training. But we need you to have your pre-creatine training and your post-creatine training and a tracker. So hope this was useful. Fundamentals. Sleep, calorie intake, protein, steps, water, those things. Focus on the rest once you've got those in check for a good few months, and then we can crack on and try other stuff. But have a good day, everyone. Remember to live one day at a time, and I'll speak to you all soon.